Matthew chapter 11. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Anyone interested in some rest? Especially at this time of year, hey? If someone offered you rest, you're tired after the year, you're definitely going to take it. If you are fortunate to have a job and your boss comes in to you, into your office tomorrow morning, Monday morning, and says, "Hey, you've got the week off," you're not going to wait. You're out of there. But it's weird that we would react like that, but sometimes we struggle to take Jesus' rest. Come to me. I love the prophetic words that we've had this morning. There's that lifting up your arms, bringing your stuff to Jesus. He's inviting us. Come to me. It's such a personal invitation from Jesus, tenderly reaching out to us, says all who are weary and burdened. I'm not sure what you think when you say those words. Weary brings to my mind an image of someone exhausted from their work, or maybe exhausted from life itself. Burdened could be someone who is weighed down with heavy loads, a crushing weight on my back, tension between my shoulders, worries every day that don't seem to go away. Maybe it's other people placing a load on you that you don't know what to do about. Expectations from other people, deadlines that need to get met, family responsibility, future plans and desires that are swirling around in your head and you can't seem to place them. Thoughts that race around and around and they don't land in a systematic format. A calendar that's full of things, important things, but maybe some of those things don't seem to bring life. Anxious thoughts about what if this goes wrong, or I know that is going to go wrong, and what will people say? Maybe the need to please too many people at once, regret swirling around in my head, telling me I've got to do this, I've got to make up for lost time, a to-do list that is never completed, an unsatisfied colleague always putting you down, picking on you, a parent who expects too much, or maybe my own expectations, an internal driver that I can't stop. We've all got heavy burdens. Whether you admit it or not, we do have heavy burdens. About 3 years ago, we went to stay at a farm, not far from Cape Town, for a few days, and I was so looking forward to staying on this farm because they had this little dam. I'd seen a photo of it, and I thought, it is going to be incredible. It's the middle of summer. We're just going to spend all our time in this dam. We get there, walk down to the dam, and right in front of the dam, there's this huge sign, "No swimming." I'm like super deflated. The next day, fortunately, the weather is cold, so we didn't really worry about swimming. But the day after that was boiling, boiling hot. So I said to Michelle, I think we can swim. I think it's just a warning. Michelle's like, "No, it says no swimming." So Julia and I, she's about 11 at the time, we walk down the road to what we think is the farmer's house. We get there, super uninviting. We can't see how to get in. Walk around the side, and there's a gate. So we open the gate, and as we're opening the gate, I say to Julia, "I hope there are no dogs here." So we open the gate, go in, close the gate behind us. the wall of the house. We come around the edge, and as we come around together, we see the stoop up on the top. And there are two massive Rottweilers on the stoop. As they see us, they lift their heads, they stand up, and they just charge. We turn around, and it's like a sprint back to the gate. We're sprinting. In my head, I'm thinking, what kind of father am I? I need to protect my girl. The gate is like this high. I can't really just throw her over. We get to the gate, and it's got one of those latches on top. And both of us are like, we can't open the latch. The dogs come around the side of the house. Julia manages to open it. She sneaks through, and she closes the gate. She's on the other side. I'm stuck. I'm thinking, okay, I've protected her, but now my daughter is going to watch her dad getting eaten. And they're coming. They're right here. And I don't know. They're obviously two seriously massive, vicious dogs whose bark was worse than their bite. Because they just, I don't know what they did. They just barked and wagged their tails and didn't do anything. Eventually, I got out. My heart was like in my throat. And we're walking back down the road, and we're kind of talking about it, and like, I think Julia was also freaking out. And we get halfway back to where we're staying, and I see one of my other daughters, Jessica, standing up on the balcony, and she is killing herself laughing. She's seen the whole thing. We thought we were going to get access to this amazing dam. Instead, we got bullied and almost eaten by two gigantic dogs. Jesus does not entice us into his presence with a false pretense. He doesn't say, come through the gate of my presence and then you will find something horrible. Actually, he gets angry with people who do stand in his gate and stop people coming into his presence. In Matthew 23, Jesus says to a crowd, and his disciples are there, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees are the official interpreters of the law of Moses. So practice and obey whatever they tell you, but don't follow their example. For they don't practice what they teach. They crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. Everything they do is for show. On their arms, they wear extra wide prayer boxes with scripture verses inside. The Pharisees were the religious leaders of the day, but instead of encouraging and lifting people's burdens, they judged and belittled the average person in the street who was trying to please God and realizing that they weren't doing a very good job at it. Jesus is the exact opposite. He brings people to rest from the burden of not being able to fulfill the law. Rest from oppression. There's a verse in Leviticus 26. God says, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt so that you would no longer be slaves to the Egyptians. I broke the bars of your yoke and enabled you to walk with heads held high. Jesus offers us rest in himself. The yoke we find in Jesus is rest because he is humble and gentle. Jesus offers deep, restful peace, ones that words cannot describe. Paul writes in Philippians, and he's writing this from prison. He says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. When I was in junior school, we had a headmaster who was also our maths teacher. So we were double afraid. Afraid of him But also the fact that he taught maths just freaked us out. One particular day, he handed our tests back and we had all bombed out. And he was super angry, gave us a lecture, told us all to get outside the classroom and line up. Girls in a row, boys in a row. Came along with a massive wooden ruler. Girls standing like this, you started at one end of the line. Doesn't matter what your mark is, every single person on the hand. And then down the boys, but not on the hands, on the bottom. Did it work? Absolutely. I've never studied math so hard. I've never studied tables so hard. Why? Fear. I was scared of him. I was scared of that wooden ruler. And now I'm scared of losing my place. How different is Jesus? Come to me. He's inviting you to himself today, right now, because he is humble and gentle in heart. Jesus isn't calling you to a program. He's not calling you to a way of doing things, a type of behavior that needs to conform. He's calling you to a deeper relationship with himself, to know his love, to experience his care, to enjoy his pleasure and rest in his presence. His invite is for whoever you are, whatever you're going through. It's not too big for Jesus. No matter what this year has thrown at you, Jesus is inviting you. You might feel rejected or, as we heard just now, maybe shame. Maybe you've been unfairly treated, but not by Jesus, because he is humble and gentle in heart. He says, all who are weary, come to me. I want to just unpack some of these words. The word heavy laden comes with this meaning, or from this meaning, to load up in the same way as to place a huge load that we would maybe in our boot, or on, in those days, on a donkey or on an ox. It means to oppress by means of legal burden. Weary is to labor, to toil, to expend great effort in hard and unpleasant work to the point of exhaustion. This undoubtedly describes someone's fruitless efforts in dealing with sin in their own way. It's guilt. Someone telling you, you need to do better. You need to succeed. Maybe driving yourself because you feel inadequate. It's a form of religious legalism that we might take on. I can deal with this myself, which just leads to emptiness and dissatisfaction in our soul. And Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. We all know what rest means. For you, rest might be lying in a hammock. Maybe it's lying on the couch with Netflix. Maybe it's a great meal and you just can be like, oh. Maybe it's getting out of the city. Maybe it's an afternoon sleep. I can recommend an afternoon snooze, a zzz. Maybe I've got some Italian blood, because in Italy, after lunch, so I hear, they close the shops. You can't find anywhere to shop because everyone is having a siesta. That's my kind of rest. And so it's interesting because whatever you think rest is for you, what it is not is working. So why did Jesus say, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy to bear? Why did Jesus not say, come to me and I will remove all yokes? Jesus says, take my yoke and let me teach you. He is inviting us into a discipleship relationship with himself. I want to just show you a picture of some oxen. So that wooden piece that is shaped, that is the yoke. It is still used today. Sometimes it's not made of wood anymore, but of like a steel. And the reason they would do that is to yoke or put together two or sometimes more, but usually two oxen so that they would pull. They would obviously be able to pull double the strength, but so that they can pull in the same direction. So they're not kind of going in different directions and making it difficult. But also that yoke, you can see that it's actually shaped for the size of the animal. So it fits it perfectly so that they can pull with the most comfort. Jesus invites us to learn from him. This word learn is the same as disciple. To learn by practicing with Jesus more than just reading about information. He invites us to a life of resting through intimate relationship with him, to enjoy him, to allow him to transform our lives because of the presence of Christ in us. There is no one like Jesus. There's no one as gentle and yet no one as mighty. There's no one who would do what Jesus did for you. No one. There's no one as perfect. There's no one as beautiful. There's no one who would say the kind of things Jesus said as anyone else. In Middle Eastern times, there weren't nicely paved roads. Or maybe if you went to a city like Rome or a big city like that, they would have cobblestones. But most of the roads where Jesus walked around would be dusty dirt, literally dirty roads. And it was custom for people to follow a rabbi. If you wanted to get close and learn from a rabbi, a teacher of the law, you would follow that person right close behind. So they would walk in front and you would literally walk, not right next to, just behind. You wanted to hear what they said as they were walking through the town along the dusty roads. You wanted to see what they saw. You wanted to learn from their wisdom. And so this phrase came about, to be covered in the dust of the rabbi. As they learned, they would honor the rabbi when he came to a stop and wanted to sit down. He would sit on a chair, or I don't know if they had chairs in those days, maybe a bunkie, a stool, I don't know. But he would sit, and they would sit on the floor, literally sitting in his dust. We see Mary in Luke chapter 10 sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to him, close to him, taking his yoke. Jesus invites you to sit in the dust of the rabbi, the teacher of teachers who longs to enjoy a relationship with you that is close, dusty, restful. For I am gentle and humble in heart. Compared to any previous masters that you may have had or maybe still have, he can't be compared. He's not judgmental. He's not proud. He's not dominating. He's not back-breaking or unfair. He's not fake or flattering. He's not scary or weird. He's not demanding or cruel. He's not unimpressed or put off or snobbish to invite you. He's the opposite. Remember when Jesus called his disciples last week, Lester spoke about Jesus calling Peter for the first time. Come, follow me. The leper said to Jesus, if you are willing, make me clean. And Jesus said to him, I am willing. Zacchaeus is hiding. He's ashamed. He's embarrassed. He's hiding in a tree, but he still wants to listen to Jesus. Jesus goes to him and looks up in the tree and says, Zacchaeus, hurry, come down. Today, I'm coming to your home. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus says to Nicodemus, whoever believes in him is not condemned. He doesn't condemn you. Whatever you've gone through, whatever you've done, whatever's been done to you, Jesus is not coming with a condemning voice. To the man who'd been crippled for 38 years, Jesus says, get up, take up your bed and walk. Wherever Jesus went, he brings restoration. He brings life, freedom, healing. Jesus goes on and he says, for my yoke is easy to bear and the burden I give is light. His yoke is manageable. It fits us well. In other words, it is tailor-made for you and I. It is light in weight. It's not burdensome. It's not overbearing. I read a story about a young farming student studying agriculture. And as part of her studies, they would have like 2 months where they would go and have a practical on a farm, learning from the real stuff. And so she was super excited, came to the start of her 2-month agricultural practical, and she went off to the Free State and staying on this farm, and she'd been there for a while, and she was chatting to the farm manager one night about what she had been learning. And she said, I've got a few questions about some of the things that I've seen. And he said, yeah, great, go for it, ask. And she said, there's this road that leads to a meadow down at the bottom. And he says, yeah, I know. And she says, there are 2 oxen that are yoked together. But I think that the farm worker that oversees that area has made a mistake, because the one ox is massive and clearly older than the other one, who is tiny and much, much younger. There's got to be something wrong. That small ox is going to get trampled and maybe even die. Do you want to just have a word to that farm worker? And the farm manager smiled and says, why don't you go tomorrow and just spend some time there and just watch? So she went the next day and watched. And then that evening, they started chatting again. And she said, I feel like such an idiot. What I saw was incredible. I watched them for 2 hours. And this huge ox was doing all the work. It was as if he was teaching the younger, smaller ox what to do. The yoke was hardly on the younger ox's back. And the farm manager said, that's exactly right. The young ox was doing absolutely nothing. To take Jesus' yoke is to put yourself under his leading, to allow Jesus to take the reins of whatever you're going through, whatever you're struggling with, whatever is causing pain, to yoke yourself with Jesus. He's like no other master. He's inviting you to live, to work, to serve, to care, to build, to grow, to develop, all in his strength that he gives. If we yield to him, he is right beside us, pulling the weight for us. And when the load becomes too heavy and maybe unbearable, what has often happened is maybe we know in our head to allow Jesus to take the weight, but we've tried to take it again. Maybe in our pride, maybe because we want to impress others or ourselves, we take that on. And Jesus says, even in those moments, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. He knows what we're like. For me, towards the end of 2019, it was a very, very difficult year. I found myself in what felt like a spiral of depression. Some of you know that I've struggled with that for quite a few years, and often I've been able to kind of feel like I'm feeling depressed. This is coming on, and I've been able to kind of, with God's strength, move through it, and kind of after a few weeks, I feel like I'm okay again. But this time felt different. It felt, I don't know if you sometimes kind of look at your feelings and then sometimes have a picture about how you feel. For me, it felt like I was in this massive pit. I'd just fallen into the hole and I didn't know how to get out. I wanted to get out, but I couldn't get out. And it wasn't like I felt God was far away. I'd known God. I'd been reading the Bible. I'd been praying, but I'm in the pit and I don't know what to do. One of the things I enjoy is surfing. So it's easy to have a picture about surfing, but I kind of felt like I was in the water on my board paddling. I can see some really great waves, but I've caught in this rip current and I just can't get there. And I want to get there. And I'm just going to paddle harder and harder and harder. But the harder I paddle, the stronger the rip feels and the more tired I get. And so I took a week off work. 1 week became two. 2 weeks became four. 4 weeks became six. Eventually, Dr. Joe, who had been very kind and wise in terms of managing and treating me, recommended a psychiatrist who I went to and went and saw her, and she said, she diagnosed me with work-related burnout and severe depression. It's not something that you want, is it? When you get sick, you kind of, I don't know about you, but sometimes I'm frustrated with myself. I don't want this. No one wants that. I was so in this hole, I could literally hardly hold a conversation. And so she admitted me into a clinic where I stayed for 3 weeks. And I met lots of other people struggling with various things. Some also with depression, some with anxiety, some struggling with mood disorders. Some had gone through trauma and so needed to just process what that looked like. And we were able to encourage each other, but very quickly I realized that I had something, someone, that but that most of the people didn't have. I had Jesus yoked with me, carrying me, carrying this burden. And a few of the encouraging promises that Jesus gave me over this period of my life may encourage you. This is probably one of the most famous, well-read Psalms, Psalm 23, but sometimes we can just kind of listen and it's maybe like noise. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. What was so encouraging about this psalm was the fact that in the midst of my trials, feeling like my enemies are close, Jesus is preparing a table for me to feast with him. That's what he's doing for us. Ephesians 6 says, we're not fighting against flesh and blood, but against rulers and authorities and powers of this dark world and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. In the fight against those forces, Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm preparing a table in the midst of all your trouble, and I want to eat with you, and I want you to eat with me. Paul writes, this is another encouragement for me, hopefully for you too. In Ephesians chapter 3, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I wonder who of us today would say, God, I need your strengthening now. For God's glorious riches, he invites us to experience the power of his Spirit in our inner being. We just need to come to Jesus and ask for the Holy Spirit's strength. Jesus says, I'm going to send my Holy Spirit. He is the helper. I love that word. He literally is a helper. He helps bear our burdens. Psalm 18, another encouragement. The cords of death entangle me. The torrents of destruction overwhelm me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. I love David's brutal honesty. He's overwhelmed. If you had to bump into David outside here and said, oh, hi, how are you? And he's like, I'm fine. He wouldn't say that, would he? He would say, I'm overwhelmed. I'm feeling desperate. I'm drowning. But he calls on God for help. When was the last time that you called on God for his help? David says, my cry came before him and into his ears. When you cry out to God, your call is not goes into the void. It doesn't go into the vacuum. No, your cry goes to his ears. Why does he bother? Why does Jesus do that? He invites us to come to him. The answer is here, right at the end, because he delights in you. He delights in us. The God who is more powerful than anything invites you and I to come to him in our weariness, in our tiredness, in our frustration or desperation or depression or whatever it is, in that state. He doesn't say, you must change. He says, I delight in you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. The reason Jesus can say this is because for all of history, he knew that he was going to come and take the ultimate burden, the ultimate load, one that is impossible for us to carry, and that is of our sin. We can try and take it in our own strength, but it will break us. If we try and reach up to our own standard, we're going to fall short. Never mind reaching up to God's standard. But Jesus is the only one who can truly say, I'm humble and gentle in heart because I paid the price for our shame. And he gives us that rest. Rest from worrying about performance, worrying about sin. That's yours to receive for today. There's no criteria to receive Jesus' lightness and carrying his burden, I mean him carrying our burden, except to come. We can pretend, and we do, we can pretend that everything's okay when it isn't, but that's not truly coming to Jesus. That's not really letting him be yoked with us. But to come under his leadership, his care, his gentleness is to come just as you are. It's being vulnerable. Maybe like I've been with you a little bit. Actually, we need to be real with each other, but more than with each other, with Jesus. Admitting a heavy burden, allowing the Holy Spirit to work inside you. There's a song that's called Lead Me to the Cross that goes like this. Savior, I come. Quiet my soul. Remember redemption's hill where your blood was spilt. Lead me to the cross where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees. Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself. I belong to you. Lead me to the cross. Will you invite Jesus into your situations, into your pain, your weariness, your mess, your brokenness? That is where he works, in the midst of that stuff. Where there were ashes, Jesus makes something beautiful. Isaiah 61 is amazing because Jesus repeats this. He reads this in the synagogue to the early followers, Jewish people. And this was hundreds of years before Jesus' time. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for their display of his splendor. And then Jesus says, he rolls down the scroll and he says, today this has been fulfilled in your presence. Jesus is the fulfillment of all that. And he says, come to me. That's who he's calling us to, that proclamation. One of the things, we're going to finish here, one of the things that being yoked with Jesus implies is that it is us and Jesus, but it's us and Jesus and community. And he calls us to care for one another. There's a very challenging passage in Romans chapter 12 that says this. This is from the New Living Translation. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong, hold tightly to what is good, love each other with genuine affection, and take delight in honoring each other. When God's people are in need, be ready to help them. Always be eager to practice hospitality. I wonder if God's putting someone on your heart right now. Not just pretending, hey, how you doing? I'm fine. No. Becoming to these people Christ-like. That as we yoked with Jesus, we take on who he is, and therefore we are able to care for others. If Jesus isn't putting anyone on your heart, maybe just ask him to soften your heart, to ask him to give you his eyes, to see people with burdens that you can help carry and take them to Jesus. Jesus calls his yoke easy. It's manageable. It fits us well. It's tailor-made for us. It's light in weight. It's not burdensome. Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. The invitation is stronger than ever. In a polarized, lonely, suffering world, Jesus' voice it's clear. It's bold, it's gentle, it's humble, it's truthful, and it's personal. The absolute best place to be is in his rest, in the presence of a loving, gracious, and kind Savior. We're going to break bread in a moment. I just wonder if we can pray now. Maybe you do have burdens. Maybe you are feeling weary. Maybe you're not. But the invitation is for everyone. Come to me. Jesus is literally calling you afresh to experience this being yoked with him, him lifting these heavy burdens off you onto himself. If you are feeling particularly weary or burdened, I'd love to just pray with you before we go into breaking of bread. Maybe you want to stretch out your hands. Lord, I want to thank you that there's no one who is like you. I want to thank you that you are our perfect Savior who took our ultimate burden on the cross. Thank you that we can come to you. Lord, I pray for those this morning who are feeling weary, who are feeling burdened, whatever they've been going through, whatever they're carrying now, Lord, I pray that they would know the reality of you, gentle and humble. Won't you come and flood them with your love? Won't you help us to know your presence and your closeness? Your Holy Spirit empowering us to know you better. Lord, help us to draw close to you. Help us to know your love deeper and deeper. As we come to break bread, Lord, we want to come to your cross afresh and reflect on what you have done for us. And in that, just to know you drawing us to yourself. Amen.